We're back on Bluegrass Bios. My name's Ken. I'm with Ken. My name's not Ken at all. Oh, man. My name's Kyle. Yeah, there we go. We'll dump. Hit the dump button.
Then. No.
No. I'm Kyle. I am with Lex. She is on location in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And engineer Ben has created something special for us today, Lex. And I just wanted to... Yeah, he has. I know. It's surprising, right?
Yeah.
No, that's not what I meant by that at all.
No, I've got an interview with Bryant Carter of the Bryant C Project, so hopefully his fans have... I think he let everybody he knows know that the interview is going to be on here and that it's streaming and that it's on 95.7 and all that. And yeah, I had him... well, we talked for about 15, 20 minutes, and then he played some music live in studio. And I think it sounds really good. We're going to have to do that way more often. Now I'm going to get ambitious with the next one. We need a full band.
Yeah.
Maybe not a drum set. Okay. But if somebody wants to hit a tambourine with a stick, I think we could use that as a drum.
Or
bongos. Bongos. We could do bongos.
Yes. Yes.
Stand up cello and just do an unplugged set. Because I thought it sounds really good.
Yeah. By July we'll have Steely Dan in here. Three drum sets. So we're expecting a good sound, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, cool. What kind of guy is this?
Very sweet guy. Left-handed and guitarist, which seems to go hand in hand. I think a lot of the best guitarists and best musicians, I think, are left-handed. And I actually had the booth set up for somebody who was right-handed. And I had to change that.
Okay.
That's my ism.
We work on the fly here at Bluegrass Bios, that's for sure. I mean, if Lexington was on the moon, we would have found a way to bring her in today, I have no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can Skype.
We could Skype from the moon.
Yeah.
How's this working for you today, Lex?
Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah?
Really? Yeah. This is, I get to sit out here, outside, in nature and talk to y'all, so it's great.
Okay, you know what? I am jealous because I can hear the happiness in your voice. Well, Ben and I just stare at our sweaty mugs across a dark console.
She knows how warm it can get in this.
Yeah.
And sometimes a little rank in this studio on occasion.
So we're going to listen to Ben's interview. Are you still going to be around when we come back in a little bit, Lex?
Yes, I should be.
Okay, fantastic. Well, we hope so. This is Bluegrass Bios, and we're going to listen to... Are we
Well, first, it's a song off Bryant's album. It's what is it called? It's the Bryant C Project, and the album's called Pay the Price. If you want to look that up, it's available a bunch of places online.
Pay the Price. Okay, we're going to sit back and relax and listen to the dulcet tones, and I invite you to do the same.
Back on Interview Radio. I'm your host Ben Wolf, and I'm here with Bryant Carter. He's got a new album called Pay the Price.
Yes.
And it's really good. Welcome to Interview Radio, Bryant.
Thank you, Ben.
Glad you could come in. We've been wanting to check out the sound equipment and see how a live performance in one of our studios.
Hey, thanks for having me part of it. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So, where are you from?
I'm originally from Maryland.
You're from Maryland?
Yes, East Coast guy.
Oh, okay. How'd you end up in Kentucky?
Well, I've had family out here, and I'd always visit off and on, and, you know, I decided to move out here about 5 or 6 years ago, and, you know, it's been pretty nice since.
And what town in Maryland were you?
Really, I just said Maryland because we moved around so much. But I guess.
Well, where were you born? Let's start there, and we'll move.
I guess
we'll move with you
in Prince George's County, a little place called Cheverly. But I guess you could say my home part of Maryland ended up being Gaithersburg. You know, that's okay. Where I spent most of my time in school, and you know, met most of the people I know out there. It's right between D.C. and Baltimore.
I was going to ask. That's where most of the people from Maryland are.
Yeah, isn't right between that.
Between not a lot of people in Baltimore, but they're Baltimore adjacent.
Exactly. Yeah, we're right between Baltimore and D.C.
And half the people. Do your folks work for the government or military or? What'd your folks do? They had you moving around a lot. That's why I was thinking maybe they were dad was in the Navy or something, or mom was in the Navy.
My dad was a truck driver.
Oh, okay.
His job really didn't affect that. I think him and my mom would just randomly up and say, "Up, we're gonna move again." So we would move every 2 or 3 years sometimes. And I guess by the late 90s, early 2000s, I'd say we settled in Gaithersburg and stayed there.
Oh, yeah. And you went to high school there and stuff like that?
Yeah, I went to Gaithersburg High School. Pretty cool place.
And you get into music in high school? Or that's where most of us get that.
I was actually, I got into music when I was fairly young, probably 3 or 4, just hearing different groups my parents would listen to. You know, my dad would be listening to Santana and different people. And then I came across Hendrix and,
you know,
I just wanted to know more about those people. And I ended up wanting to play like them.
And I noticed you're left-handed and he's, of course, left-handed.
Yeah, I'm left-handed as well, yeah.
Strike a chord with you.
Yeah, that was another thing I noticed about Hendrix. But, yeah, I started by wanting to learn how to play those songs, and later I wanted to try to write some songs of my own.
And you went to school for it in California?
Yeah, I went to Musicians Institute for a quarter, just a quarter. I went out there to visit in California for a little while, did something called a think tank. While I was out there, I just kind of liked the area and the scene and, you know, met some cool people. So I figured if I got into the school, it'd be a good excuse to move out there. But, yeah, I went there for a quarter. It was kind of expensive, but the experience was great. You know, you're used to going to class and having to write a warm up. Our warm up was guitar exercise at like 9 a.m. So it was a musician's dream.
So they forced you to sit down and write music and come up with stuff. Is that maybe
we had different classes out there. I know my first one, we would come in and, you know, do warm ups. It'd teach you a lot about, you know, finger placements and things like that. Then you'd have classes where you'd focus on reading music and. Mm-hmm. And you'd have some where they partner you up with someone, and by the end of the class, you have to do a little guitar duo for the class, kind of like a drill.
Okay.
So it was pretty wide open. There was also a class where they held it in one of the main rooms. They had guest speakers there all the time. I know, like, Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers.
Oh, wow.
He came out there and did a seminar one time, but for that class, they would give us a song, and the staff would be your backing band.
Oh, okay.
And you would have to get up there and play it in front of everyone, pretty much like your own little private show. I think I was there for one of those, and it was Heart-Shaped Box by Nirvana, which was a song I was already familiar with, so it was fun. Yeah.
Another left-handed guitarist.
Kurt Cobain, yeah.
Kurt Cobain, and McCartney's also left-handed.
Oh, yeah, McCartney.
Do you like the Beatles at all?
Yeah, I do like the Beatles, actually.
Good.
Definitely a fan of the Beatles.
I was going to say, if you're probably a fan of anyone, you've got to be a fan of Lenny Kravitz. Your music did remind me of his a little bit.
Yeah, I like Lenny Kravitz also. I see he's been in the studio. He's been posting a lot of pictures, working on an album. I even saw him in a picture with George Clinton, so I'm really looking forward to hearing what those two might come up with. But yeah.
Yeah, fusion of styles and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Never got to see him live, though, but Lenny's a pretty cool guy, good musician.
Yeah, he doesn't do too many albums. I think he's mostly just performing
I think he's just slowed it down a little bit. I guess he's been going since, the late 80s Let Love Rule. I know when I recognized him, I think, was when he put out, Fly Away and American Woman. I think I was in, middle school, and that's when he caught my attention back then, but...
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit older than you. I think I first heard of him when he was dating Lisa Bonet.
Oh, yeah, from the college show?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
She's got a boyfriend. Who's that guy? Oh, rock star. Okay. Never mind. You're listening to 95.7 WLXL Lexington Community Radio, and this is our interview with Bryant Carter of the Bryant C Project. His album is entitled Pay the Price. Oh, did your parents play any instruments? Did they have they into music at all? Are they appreciative or aficionados?
Yeah, well, my mom, she played piano.
Oh, okay.
I think she did that more so when she was younger. During when I was growing up, I never really saw either of them playing. They were just more of listeners of the music. But my dad's brother, my Uncle Ronnie, he plays bass, and he was always, you know, putting groups in my ear to listen to, and he was kind of an inspiration with that, you could say. Yeah, I'd go into music stores with him when I was little, and he'd pick up a bass, and, you know, the whole store would just be looking his way. He was actually offered to play bass for Hootie and the Blowfish back in the 90s, but okay. He turned it down.
Oh, no, why?
I think he said he just wasn't too interested, but I think he said later he wished he had gone before.
Oh, man. Yeah, just to kind of go on tour and get some stage time with them. And
oh, yeah.
So they hit probably, I think, 95.
Yeah, it was about then.
Right before they broke? And
right before then. But he's a big blues guy. He put me on to a lot of people like Albert King and Muddy Waters, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I remember, my dad is a blues fan, and he would leave. This is how you do it with your kids. You leave stuff around the house for them to find. You don't give some, oh, my parents think this is cool. Yeah, I'll listen to this right away. You leave it around and let the kids just kind of find it.
Yeah, you
and
do I found that. It'll stuff, get some attention.
So there was stuff like Eddie Vinson. Okay. And, Eddie Cleanhead Vinson. Oh, man. Oh, Big Mama Thornton.
Okay.
So that was good. Did you ever listen to any? Who are your blues guys?
Robert Johnson has cool stuff. Yeah. You know, B.B. King.
Yeah, I missed B.B. King. I didn't get to see him perform.
That's actually what just went through my head when I said his name just now. I wish I had seen him perform. Oh, and Buddy Guy is another one.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to catch him one day. I didn't get to catch Johnny Winter either. He's a cool guy.
You're listening to 95.7 WLXL Lexington Community Radio, and this is our interview with Bryant Carter of the Bryant C Project. His album is entitled Pay the Price. Oh, how old are you?
Oh, I'm 30.
Oh, you're 30? Oh, yeah. 30's kind of that's kind of a blah decade.
Yeah, well, my decade where I picked up a lot and I don't know where I sponged a lot were the 90s probably. I like a lot from the 90s, a lot of the music and just everything. That was my coming up time. So, you know, the 2000s were cool, but I'm liking these years right now also.
It seems like every 10 years, rock music is good for about 3 years, and then there's a drop. And then just around the zeros or the ones, it picks back up.
Yeah.
And like, oh, 91 was just, well, Nirvana came out and everything.
If I could have been this age right here back in 91, that would have been sick.
Oh, that would have been nice. Great. I'd be in the Northwest. Personally.
Oh, yeah, me too, probably.
Just out there going to shows. And then Pearl Jam and Chili
Alice
Peppers.
Alice in Chains,
so many great albums. And that lasted for about 3 years. And then it just fell off.
Yeah, then it just fell off. But, you know, some of those guys came back, which was cool. It's unfortunate.
Well, I was just stuck around, you know. The Chili Peppers stuck around.
Yeah, the Chili Peppers
Eddie
stuck
Vedder
around.
And Pearl Jam stuck around, and then they kind of go up and down in popularity. So.
Yeah, I thought it was, I'm glad they stuck around, and, you know, I had missed people like Soundgarden and Alice in Chains.
Oh, yeah. But Soundgarden infamously played a show in Lexington in 1990, before they broke, and maybe 15 people were at this show at downtown Lexington at a place that's no longer there. Uh-huh. And I think so far probably 500 have claimed that they were there and saw them. I had never heard of them. I didn't go. I missed them. A lot of people bring that up. Soundgarden was here and nobody went to see them. Uh-huh. They were just too soon.
Yeah, they were just ahead of their time. I mean, I guess for a place like this, you know, they probably weren't ready, but I'm sure they recognized them, you know, years later when they heard about them headlining Lollapalooza and whatnot.
And I think a lot of those bands in the 80s, especially rock bands, were just so under the radar. There was no alternative rock. That wasn't a phrase. And so it was college radio, and we had RFL, so we were a little bit ahead of the curve on all that stuff.
Yeah, how was WRFL back then?
Oh, it was fantastic. That was the only place you could listen to like if the White Stripes were around back then, that would have been the only station that had White Stripes.
Okay.
Or so they were playing Dead Kennedys and Husker Du and the Pixies. And
as far as the, I don't know, I guess I wasn't never in the punk quite as much, but I did, you know, hear about it a lot and everything. But
you've heard the Sex Pistols album.
I've heard of them, though. They've got an infamous, couple infamous stories.
Infamous songs, infamous story that they made a movie. That's how infamous they were.
Definitely.
So not so much into punk. How about anything else, anything we haven't mentioned that you really like?
Well, I like a lot of soul and R&B stuff, too. You know, another person I liked growing up was, you know, hearing people like Michael Jackson. I thought he had a real good voice. And,
Well, again, I gotta go my age. Thriller was the first album I think I ever bought.
Oh yeah, Thriller. That was
so I was a kid, and
Back to the Beatles. You know, he worked with Paul McCartney on, you know, the
Say
Girls,
Say
my,
Say.
Yeah, and
Girl.
So it was
Say Say Say. Not on Thriller. Most people forget that.
That's
on Paul McCartney's album. Pipes of Peace or something. Yeah, it's the girl, the Doggone Girl Is Mine.
Thriller. That was a good one though. But yeah, I'm real open with music. There's not just one particular genre I listen to. With me, it's more as long as I feel it. If I hear it and I feel it, you know, I'm into it, you know.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. And even branching out to classical music. Old blues and jazz. And
most definitely,
I've got a great album. It's Monk and Coltrane. Live playing together. It's one of my favorite albums. And that's sitting in my CD collection next to Nirvana.
Monk
is next to Nirvana. I still got a few hundred CDs. Well, I don't think I have enough hard drive space for all the music.
Yeah, I don't have enough for
and digitizing that.
There's a lot.
The CDs
there's,
are fine.
They're good. I can still pop it in the car and go on about my business.
And I still buy vinyl every once in a while. I do the record store day.
Yeah, thing. I like checking out vinyl. I definitely like looking in record shops and seeing what they have, you know.
Yeah, it's great.
Pick
and
up
you
some
have
old Zeppelin or something, or some Hendrix.
You're listening to 95.7 WLXL Lexington Community Radio, and this is our interview with Bryant Carter of the Bryant C Project. His album is entitled Pay the Price.
You can buy MP3s and stuff off iTunes, but yeah. I'm still a person that I like to buy. If I'm going to buy, like, my favorite album I've been waiting on or something,
you know,
it's fun to buy it and look at the packaging, open up the CD.
And especially if it's a record.
Or if it's a vinyl, you can open it up. You know, it just makes the experience more fun.
A lot of the times, the lyrics. They got the lyric sheets on
there. I mean, it's,
and maybe a story, maybe an article or something like that.
Or a poster or something.
Yeah, or
you
a poster.
Know.
And the vinyl records, they just have value.
They
appreciate in value. I guess we just decided records are cool and they're going to appreciate in value.
Oh, yeah.
But a CD is just like a little piece of plastic. Even the packaging for that's just plastic.
Yeah.
But vinyl, it's a big, pretty thing. Bigger, people have put effort into. You know, the covers.
Exactly.
Yeah, album covers is kind of a thing. It's a lost art. There's so many good album covers way back in the, I think, 60s and 70s.
60s and 70s probably had some of the best album covers.
Yeah,
just the color. I mean, probably, you know, like Hendrix, Band of Gypsies, that was a cool album cover.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know.
And Sgt. Pepper, I think, is probably
Sgt. Pepper was great, too.
And Nevermind.
Yeah, that's another good one, though. Facelift, Chainz.
I think the kid from the cover of Nevermind has got to be, 26, 27 years old?
They talked to that kid some time ago. I saw something. They were like, the kid from Nevermind now. But, that pretty much set him for life, I guess.
Where do you like to perform in and around Lexington?
Yeah, well, right now I'm working on actually finishing up a video and some more new music, and then I will be getting back out to playing live. But some places that I do like playing here in Lexington.
Yeah.
My two favorite places are probably Cosmic Charlie's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the Green Lantern.
Those really good scenes.
Those are really good places, you know.
Well, and the people who go there, they're going to listen to music.
Exactly. You know, they're going to listen
to
music.
Not a lot of chat and, you know, people.
Yeah.
And glasses clinking and people giggling and stuff like that. And they play loud. Green Lanterns
especially.
Having a conversation.
They're pretty nice in there. I mean, the stage, the way they have the lights set up and everything. And it's just nice, good staff, good people. And, you know, Cosmic Charlie's, I like playing there because they have a nice stage, too. And you can also get your performance recorded there, which I think is pretty cool. Not all venues offer that. But as far
I actually learned how to do that recently because we do that over at Owls.
Owls is a place. I've heard a lot of good things about Owls. I want to go and check them out, too, and play there sometime.
Right down the street.
I actually saw it when I was coming here because we did a photo shoot one time, like, I guess the building behind it or something, there's like this graffiti mural on the wall, this girl, and we had taken some pictures next to that. But as far as overall, one of my other favorite places to play is kind of up in northern Kentucky near Newport, Cincinnati area.
Oh, yeah,
there's a crowd up there, man. I've developed a good fan base up there thanks to, like, Thompson House playing at the Thompson House Newport. They just get wild up there. They're pretty fun. So, you know.
Yeah.
I think the first time I went to Covington was a couple years ago. I went up there to see Busy Bone, actually. He did a solo show up there. And that was cool. And see, that's how open my music genre is. I like, you know, Bone Thugs and Harmony. Shout out to them, too. But, he did a show up there at this place in Covington. And it's kind of in the, I guess, same playground area as Thompson House, but that whole vibe, that whole scene up there is pretty nice. And then you got the York Street Cafe and Madison Theater. They got a pretty nice scene up there.
All right, well, let's try playing something. What would you like to play for us? That sounds good. Just kind of in the studio with the acoustic. Oh, what kind of guitar do you have?
Well, actually, I have this left-handed Fender acoustic. Picked it up out here not too long ago. And I had wanted to take a shot at this song I put out called Can't Take It.
All right.
You know, I've always wanted to do an acoustic version of it, so maybe this will, you know, let me know if that's something I want to do and it's got a good message.
All right, cool.
Just can't take it.
song was originally written on acoustic. So that, I mean, it was originally written on electric, so it was pretty, it was a pretty fun ride to do it on acoustic.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun. You're listening to 95.7 WLXL Lexington Community Radio, and this is our interview with Bryant Carter of the Bryant C Project. His album is entitled Pay the Price. When you want to, when you sit down and you start to write a song, what do you start with? What do you have in mind? Is it a chord? Is it a lyric?
Usually, I'll come up with a melody or hear a tune, and I'll kind of bring it out on the guitar, and then I'll start writing lyrics to it. But if there's a certain message or something I'm feeling I want to get out, then in that case, I might start with the lyrics sometimes, and then kind of tuck the music around it.
You don't have like a set way you like to work? Otherwise, that's like work.
There's really not a set way I have. It's kind of spur of the moment with, you know, if the song starts with an idea from the melody or the lyrics, that kind of takes charge is how I'll start it.
Do you ever, do you have somebody you bounce ideas off of? Anybody that you know that's a musician that you, you like to play for and you trust their opinion? You say, oh, what do you think of this? I came up with this. What do you think?
Yeah, over the time since I've been out here, I got a couple buddies like one of the producers I worked with actually on Pay the Price, Freddie Hanshew. He produced and mixed the CD, you know, and when I was working on that album, I'd, you know, bounce ideas off him sometimes, or if you got a bandmate you're playing with sometimes, I'll do that. So yeah, I'll do that sometimes as well, or a friend who's, you know, a fan of the music, and I also feel that they have good taste and will be real honest as they, if they like something or not.
Did you find yourself changing much once you got into the studio, or is it, did you just pretty much perform as you wrote it? Did you make anything on the fly, any changes?
I'd say the majority of it pretty much stayed the same. When you work with a producer, sometimes you'll bring a song in and then they'll give you an idea like, hey, we can do this here, or we can stretch that there or something. And sometimes I like those ideas and go along with that. That can be the, you know, fun part of working with a producer sometimes.
From what I hear, the main note people get from producers, especially if they're doing rock music or rhythm and blues, is tambourine. Add a tambourine and that creates a hit. For some reason, I don't know why.
It works.
A tambourine makes all these songs better. I think Stevie Wonder figured that out.
Oh yeah, real quick. Yeah. That's another good guy, Stevie Wonder, right there. Yeah. But yeah, actually, we did add tambourine on one of the songs. Actually, the last song on "Pay the Price," "Only with You," was a song that was inspired. I wrote for my son, but we put tambourines and shakers and everything just to make it, you know, give it that upbeat, happy sound, you know.
Is your son your only child? Do you have any other kids?
Yes, he's my only child.
How old is he?
He's three.
He's three. Oh, my.
But at the time, when I wrote that for him at the time, he was only like a couple months old. So I was going for like a upbeat something I could see like a baby shaking to. But yeah, he's pretty hyped.
Do you want to try playing that one?
Sure, yeah.
That was Only With You?
Yeah, it was called Only With You.
Only With You.
Yes, sir. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Since you came into my life, it's been a blast. I need to know that it can feel like this, like a never-ending dream, filled with bliss. I wanna watch and be with you all your life. I'd be a fool if I let you out of sight. This feeling's always so brand new. I know it could only be this way with you. And that song was actually, it's short like that because it was the outro to the CD, and it was also something for him, so I figured I was going to make it just short and sweet. But the intro to the CD also has some kind of, it also has like a short song, but it's called Truth, and that was like, I always wanted to have a CD with an intro to it, because some of my favorite albums, you know, has some cool intros, so... That was actually the intro I wrote for that album, Truth. So Truth and Only With You are kind of like a short opener and a short closer, just to
kind of bookend.
Yeah.
Would you mind playing the intro for us?
Oh, sure.
Let's give that a shot.
Truth.
Mm-hmm. know what to do. Just think of all you've been through, those crazy times you've been through. Now go on now, seek it true.
You're listening to 95.7 WLXL Lexington Community Radio, and this is our interview with Bryant Carter of the Bryant C Project. His album is entitled Pay the Price.
Let's see. Oh, you said you have a son. Are you married?
Yeah, I do have a son. He's 3, and I am not married, though.
Gotcha.
Actually single, yeah, so.
But you and she get along? You take care of the kid?
Yeah, we're mostly just about, you know, good co-parenting with that, and we just keep it at that, nothing more. That way, good. You know, it's better for him, and you know.
Yeah, and she lives in Lexington also?
She lives in Winchester.
Oh, okay.
I actually live in Winchester as well.
Oh, okay.
He makes both of our lives worthwhile. And
yeah. Does he have a room at both places? Got his own room?
Yeah, he does. Though he likes to stay over there a little bit more because he's got his little cousins around and everything.
Oh, okay.
So usually I'll go over there, hang out with him, or we go out, whatever. It's more comfortable with him as long as he's happy.
So you have a day job, and I take it you're hoping that you can do music full-time and make a living off just that.
Yes, I do, actually. I got there's actually something in the works right now that might – hopefully maybe bring that to life. We're just finishing up kind of the details on that, but as far as what that is, it just involves a little bit bigger of a band getting together right now. And
I think making money off of an album and album sales is really kind of gone by the wayside.
Yeah,
I don't see that really coming back.
Yeah, the way, I guess with the MP3 and the internet and stuff, it kind of had its good and bad as far as effect on music.
The paradigm used to be, and I don't like that word either, but paradigm used to be you would go on tour to promote your album.
Yeah.
Now it seems like you have an album to promote a live show. Like, come, here's my music, come see me live. It's a good thing to,
yeah,
you know, go out with your friends and
that's
or
true,
a date
though.
Or a loved one and
things have
and
really
just have
changed
a good time. Yeah.
You know, it kind of makes me wonder how I would have been doing this, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, back when the only way anybody was going to hear your stuff was the radio, you know.
Yeah.
It seemed like a much more direct push out there than right now. It's kind of more,
well, you know, the record companies had the keys to the kingdom.
They did.
So if you
I
wanted,
wish they had kept
if
them.
You, yeah. I don't know about that. Because once that broke down,
uh-huh,
all there's a music explosion and people can just,
well,
on their
true,
on their on their computers, you know, the technology that's negated the album sales is also what allows people to just plug their instruments into,
yeah,
a board and a USB cord runs to your computer and then you can edit and
exactly
and put it out there and sell it completely,
yeah,
on your own.
There's a lot more independent artists out there now, that's for sure.
Speaking of social media and putting your stuff out there, let's let's go through all your stuff because you got all the musicians, all the stuff the musician needs nowadays. So you got, I think number one is the Bandcamp site,
yeah,
which Bandcamp is the best
is really
way to
cool.
get, I think. And I think as far as financially for you, doesn't that benefit the artist more than, like, let's say iTunes or Amazon or things like
it
that?
It does, because with Bandcamp, you can put a song on there and you can, you know, you can name your price for it. And or you can make it free for the listener, or
yeah,
you can,
yeah,
let the listener pick what they want to pay for it.
Oh,
so
I
there's
yeah,
a couple
yeah,
options
yeah.
out there for it. You know, it's pretty comfortable for the audience, and they can go in and check that out.
And so you're at, was it bandcamp.com/
The Bryant C Project.
The Bryant C Project.
Yes, and then, you know, you have your main site, which is,
oh, yeah,
thebryantcproject.net. Yes.
I have to make very clear. And I'm... when I get home, I'm still going to type in .com by accident first and then remember it's .net. And then you've got with the iTunes and Bandcamp links.
You can search on like iTunes, and also I also work with SoundCloud. I like them.
Don't you have a track that's only on SoundCloud that wasn't on the album? Did you put up something exclusively?
Actually, I just recently I did put out a track called "The Pill," mm-hmm. King Heroin remix, and that all came from a couple years ago. A friend had shown me a poem, and you know, I was just reading it, and I couldn't help but notice the way the writer of the poem wrote the words on there. It reminded me of the lyrics to the way James Brown wrote his infamous mm-hmm. song King Heroin. And it gave me an idea. You know, I called my buddy Freddie at the studio, and you know, I asked him if I brought you the instrumental to King Heroin, could I recite this poem over, and could, you know, could maybe lay it down? And I put it out, and we sure enough did that. And this song, it's been getting some good reactions. That was a real in your face type of song, so I know delicate for some listeners to hear, because I don't know what they're going through everything. True. But
yeah, if not themselves, then probably someone they know.
Yeah, exactly. So to hear some of the people say it made their day and influence someone to reach out to a family member they haven't spoken to in a while, you know, things like that meant a lot. So I'm glad we went on through and put it out, it, you know.
And your SoundCloud, so that's soundcloud.com/, is that the Bryant C Project
again? That one, that was just soundcloud.com/Bryant C.
Slash Bryant C.
And, you know, Bryant Carter on Facebook or the Bryant C Project on Facebook. But
yeah, so let's, I want to spell that for people. It's BRYANT. C Project.
Yeah,
spell Project.
That is correct.
All right. And the name of the album's Pay the Price, and people can pick that up online. Can they pick up a physical copy?
Maybe at
your local independent record store or CD store?
Actually, I'm glad you asked that, because you can get it. You can get your, you know, of course, your digital copy online. Mm-hmm. And you can also go to the contact section on my site, thebryantcproject.net. I have a couple, you know, CDs I'm selling, you know, if mm-hmm. you put in an order. But as far as here in Lexington, you can go to Pops Resale.
Oh, I like Pops.
Yeah, Pops is a great store. You can go to CD Central. And you can even check out Chuck's off Southland. And there'll be a couple copies.
Oh, I'm not
even
familiar with that.
Yeah, they're actually a music store over there, and you can go in there and get a copy of the CD as well.
You're listening to 95.7 WLXL Lexington Community Radio, and this is our interview with Bryant Carter of the Bryant C Project. His album is entitled Pay the Price. Bryant, thank you for joining us here today. This was a lot of fun, and we got
to check out
the studio and see how everything sounded. And this was a lot of fun for me. I hope you had fun too.
Hey, great experience.
Good.
And I hope better way to spend my day off.
Oh yeah, and when you have something else, you got something new and something you want to come in and play for us, give me a call. Let us know. And
great.
What are you going to play us out with?
This one's called Next Time Around. And it has the saxophone on the CD, so I'll give you all a version without the saxophone.
So Next Time Around, if I had to guess, that is a song about someone in particular or situation in particular?
Yeah, I'd say a situation in particular. It's more of an overview, something that hopefully a lot of people can relate to, you know. Yeah. Some people might want a second chance with someone or something, and you know, if you give it another shot, you never know how it might go, so maybe you can get it that next time around.
Excellent. Next time around.
Maybe next time around we don't have to close that door. Maybe next time around things don't have to feel so sore. Maybe next time around we can make things complete. Maybe next time around maybe it can just be you and me. We've gone through so many trials and times, makes me wonder what's next to see in life. Could we make it one more try? Just let those eyes feel free and wise and free. fly. Maybe next time around, we don't have to close that door. Maybe next time around, things don't have to feel so, so cool. Maybe next time around, we can make things complete. Maybe next time around, maybe it can just be you and me.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
I think we're good.
Awesome.
All right. We are back on WLXL 95.7 Lexington Community Radio. You have been listening to Bluegrass Bios, and thank you for doing so. I'm joined in studio by engineer Ben, and on location is the lovely Lexington Sours. How are you doing over there on the patio, Lex?
I am good. I'm soaking in some sun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're jealous. What we just listened to was Bryant Carter and his band, the Bryant C Project, and you can find out more information about him at thebryantcproject.net. We listened to a few of his. He was trying out the acoustic because he's more of an electric guy, a southpaw like Hendrix. And Ben, you wanted to actually give the audience.
Yeah, I wanted to encourage you, if you've got music and you think it's suitable for air and we can just throw it on, you can mail us a CD. We're at 123 East 6th Street, and that's here in Lexington at 40508. And we'll give it a listen and stuff.
Probably need to do care of WLXL.
Yeah, if you want to say care of Bluegrass Bios, you
Even
can do
better.
That too, and we'll get that. That'll come directly to me and Kyle. And yeah, we'll give that
a listen. Yeah, that would be awesome.
And
I'd love to.
And I want to get ambitious.
Get some local talent.
I want some.
Awesome.
I want a big, at least four people in here. I want to try next time. Get four people in here, all singing, all playing something.
Oh, I can't wait.
So what do you think about this format, Lex? Are you going to phone it in from here on out with your coffee and fruit?
Literally phoning it in is Lexington.
You know, I would love if that's the way this worked. I don't think it's very feasible for our just the way we work with how many wonderful guests we get through call-ins, but if I could do this, just sit at home, have a nice little breakfast, fix myself, you know.
Yeah, I've got you in bunny rabbit slippers right now and a big mug of coffee.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Ben, it's been nice. I've been able to get up, read, you know, do some work, sit outside. Haven't had to go to class. It's been really nice.
Yeah. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day week. You know, we like to celebrate the whole week.
Of course. Birthday weeks, Christmas weeks. If you can make it a week, do it.
Lex, you want to give one final hoot? Say goodbye to the audience?
All right. Well, thank you all for listening to WLXL 95.7. It's been a blast on Bluegrass Bios.
We're going to have, stay tuned when we come back in the next hour. It's going to be Help Local is the name of the show with Mary Lynn Houlihan. You've been listening to Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community.